Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you, and I want to just applaud you for weathering this blizzard that we're getting, and all of you made it. And if it is too bad in about an hour, Craig Stevens says he'll take everyone home in a new Jeep. So, but I'm glad you're here, and it's always a joy to gather in the house of the Lord. Several announcements. I want to remind you that on the 26th of March, we're having that cleanup day. They're calling it a purging day, where we just get to walk around and throw things away to our mark. And Mona had a good idea. Since it's immediately after the service, feel free to wear what you would use to work in. So you won't have to worry about that as well. Also, I really was overwhelmed with how quickly we filled up the idea I had of having a Bible study for each week in Holy Week, or each day in Holy Week. And you'll see I made a little chart there that has the location and the scripture and what the theme is. They will all start at 7, and I put that about bringing your own coffee or drink, because I didn't want the host to feel obliged to put out a big spread. Feel free to if you want to, but I don't want you to feel obliged to do it. So if you want something to drink or coffee, do that. Also, on Tuesday, it'll be nice to be able to go up to Big Island to the Brill's house, and we have done this before when the men's group have gone up there. If you would like to carpool or caravan, we'll get there about 5:45 on Tuesday at the Fresh Market parking lot, and we can go up there again. So, really pleased with this. Notice that Good Friday will be here in the sanctuary with our tenebrae service, where it's darkening. And if you would like to read a scripture, a fairly short scripture from Matthew's Gospel, I need 5 different readers for that night. So if you'd like to read, please let me know, and I'll plug you in on that. Any other announcements? And I have one I forgot yesterday, and I was about ready to forget again. We would like to request little travel size shampoo, conditioner, soap, etc. So, you know, the type you pick up from hotels. Also, we're putting together packets for the homeless with the clothing connection. Carolyn's providing some washcloths, so if you can provide little travel size shampoos, conditioners, soaps, there will be a bucket out there, and there's no timeline. So just bring them when you can, and that will be in the bulletin next week. Anything else on that?
That's it.
Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
There's a men's group at our house in Alton on Wednesday, both men's and women.
Okay. And
I will say both men's and women, not just men.
Right, women, both men and women's group. And if you don't know their address, you'll see it in the bulletin, 314 Powhatan. You turn by the Bank of America on Timberlake Road. All right, any other announcements? Thanks, Andy. All right, let's kick into prayer requests. One that's not in there, but I do have permission to share it. We want to keep Jennifer Mahanes in our prayers. Her white blood count, cell count, is elevated. So they say that's an indication of some infection. So let's keep Jennifer in our prayers. She is in a hospital in Charleston.
Rover Hospital. Rover St. Francis Hospital.
Okay. Anything you want to add, Martha?
Just keep on praying. I mean, she's a strong woman, but this is really not a big outcome on her.
We're praying for her, for you, and keep us posted.
Did you see Charleston or Charlotte? Where is she?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. She lives there. Any other prayer requests?
Keep B in prayer, please. It's still struggling.
Let's keep B in prayer.
Helen, always.
Let's keep Helen in prayer. And Gail, how's your uncle?
He's still holding on.
All right. I'm really tickled as a praise to see Miss Carolyn Ashwell here today. She is quite a trooper, and she was disappointed that she wasn't going to be able to host men and women's group again, so we'll catch you another time. We'll get back to where we ought to be the following week. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Karen.
I have a praise that just tomorrow and everything was clear again.
Amen.
You'll have one every 6 months, but you know, you're really anticipating.
Yeah. Let's keep Justice Ashwell in our prayers. His MRI was clear. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this day, for the beauty of a slight snow. It's just brings sort of an excitement to the air. May we just give you praise for this created world. For we know that this is our Father's world, and we just appreciate that not only are we, but all of creation is fearfully and wonderfully made, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for an opportunity to gather in your house to praise and worship you today. May it be a blessing for those that are here. May we be touched by your Spirit, inspired by your word, see fully and only your Son. We ask that you would be with these prayer requests that are mentioned. We give you praise for Justice's clear MRI. We also give you praise that Carolyn has been doing well and Barbara Hackett is doing well. We give you thanks for that. We pray that you'll continue to be with Jennifer. We just pray that the infection will get under control and just strengthen her, we pray, and encourage her, and be with Martha in particular, as she's not where her heart is, and just give her comfort and strength, and may we all continue to lift them up. We pray that you would be with Bea and with Helen, continue to strengthen both, bring healing and health to them both, and we also pray that you would be with Rich and his entire family in what seems to be his waning days. May he just be strengthened and encouraged. Again, we thank you for all the blessings. We truly are highly blessed and favored individuals, all because Jesus loves me and Jesus loves us all. We thank you for that. May we praise his holy name today. And we ask these prayers in that name. Amen. All right, let's join with me on the front of the bulletin. We will gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your mercy, for all our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the first 9 verses of Psalm 95, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 399. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the towers of the earth, and the highest of the hills are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our God.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
Said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Thank you.
consider the worthy desires of your humble servants. Reach out to defend us from evil by the word and work of your majestic right hand. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you. only you who satisfies our heart. You uphold us in your grace, and you shower us with your perfect love. And we praise your name alone. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You probably know that the name of this congregation is drawn and was drawn from the fourth chapter of John, the Well Church. And it speaks to the truth that we all desire one thing. The one thing we desire, it may be in different formats, in different channels, but what we all want is to be loved by someone. We want to matter. We want to be loved. And we see in this picture the only source of that. And it's very interesting that if you look at this passage, we'll see that we're our own worst enemy when it comes to wanting to be loved, because we block the reception of love by something that is offered to us in abundance, and all too often we take it. And we'll look at that in a minute through this woman. But it's interesting that she knew exactly what she wanted, Well, the Old Testament reading that Brandon read for us, the people of Israel, they were complaining that they did not have water. She knew that she wanted far more than water. She wanted living water. But she, in the movement of love, is going to move along, which won't surprise you, along three simple words that all begin with A. So it's easy to remember. The block that blocks us from being able to receive love is being ashamed. She was ashamed. She, out of being ashamed, felt that she didn't deserve to be loved. She questions the Savior. Why are you talking to me? In a way, you could say she was a three-time loser. She was a woman, which in that culture, it was not permitted for any man to speak to a woman, unless it was his wife. So she was a woman. She was a Samaritan. And that was, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. They totally repudiated Jerusalem. They thought that worship was to be on the mount, as she indicated. But they also only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah. So they were seen as being sort of half-breaded corruptors of the true religion of Jerusalem. And so she was ashamed. She was also ashamed because she had a track record when it came to relationships, to giving and receiving love that made her the talk of the town. You may have caught when Jim was reading that it was at the sixth hour. That was not the normal time that water was gathered. Women would go at the first part of the day. They would go at daybreak because they needed the water throughout the day. The only way that we can speculate that she went later than that is she just didn't want to see the wagging tongues and the scowls on the face and the way it would be communicated to her that she somehow was not as good as the others. So she came. She was ashamed. But what she found in Jesus, what she found in Jesus is that she was accepted. See, that's what Jesus does. He comes in the midst of our feeling that we are not worthy, and he accepts us. You know, we love that song, hymn. You know it. Billy Graham made it very popular. But somehow we sing it, and then we go on to deny it. And you know what hymn I'm talking about, sung at every crusade. They ended by singing, "Just as I am." And we sort of trick people sometimes with our message of the gospel. We say, "Come just as you are," and then as soon as they get in, we give them a list now of 15 rules that they have to follow in order to be a good Christian. As if they were good Christians and bad Christians. They're just Christians that are loved by God. So he accepted her. And the third A I want to use, and I combine the two, is he assured her of his love. It's interesting to me that John, and any of us who are studying the book of Revelation together, written by the same author, John really is symbolic, and he uses a lot of numbers. And it's very interesting that this woman had been married, and you do this high math with me, she had been married five times. She's living with one who's not her husband. So that's how many failed relationships that failed to satisfy her longings. Six. But what Jesus is saying, I'm the seventh husband. Seven is the number of perfection. I'm the perfect husband. It's interesting, Jacob in the Old Testament, and that's why it's called Jacob's well. Jacob found his wife at a well. Moses found his wife at the well. And where did Jesus Christ, that perfect husband, find his bride? At this well. And it's at this well that he showed that she's different than all the others. He's not going to fail her, disappoint her, make her feel less than, as obviously the six she knew. But he was going to love her perfectly, accept her completely. He was going to be her Messiah and her Savior. And because of that, she went and won a whole town to the Lord. In the passage that we didn't read, if you look in verse 42 of John 4, let's begin in verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, which is odd. A woman's testimony is an oxymoron in this culture. Women couldn't give testimony. They weren't valued in the world, but those that aren't valued in the world are truly and highly valued by Christ. And it's this woman's testimony that the town believed. And look what she says at the end of 39. He told me all that I ever did. Now, we had just read the dialogue. Did he tell her all that she had ever done? No. But he brought to the fore the one piece that was blocking her reception of love. And that is that she felt unworthy. And Satan, well, the evil one, does the same thing for us. We question. Sometimes if we're honest, I can understand why God loves so-and-so. They're a lot better than I am, but I can't believe that God loves me. And we, in questioning that, it's not that God doesn't love us, but we put up our blockade. We resist it with that shame, and she did not. He brought up to me and dealt with what had been gnawing at my soul. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but now we have heard for ourselves. And we know this is indeed the Savior of the world. They believed, we have heard, they knew it, they were assured that they were worthy of Christ's love. That's easy to hear in church. That's easy to hear when we are dressed up and sitting pretty and hearing nice music. It's more difficult to hear in the goings on in life when we get health prognoses that we wonder why others don't. We think somehow others are far more lovable than we because we think we can see that in how they're treated, how things go well for. And we sometimes begin to wonder, can God love me? I want to read a portion. It's somewhat long, longer than usually I quote, but it's from one of my favorite authors in one of his favorite books. He was a Roman Catholic priest that left the priesthood to become married, but he still wrote and lectured. His name was Brennan Manning. And Brennan Manning wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, because we are ragamuffins. As Paul would say, look around us. We ain't much. And when we think we're much, we're probably further from the truth than when we just admit we are ragamuffins. So why I like Brennan Manning is he is so honest. He's brutally honest. And you will see this from what I read. Listen and let this just go into your soul. I'm quoting from Brennan Manning. When I get honest, I admit I am a bundle of paradoxes. I believe and I doubt. I hope and get discouraged. I love and I hate. I feel bad about feeling good. I feel guilty about not feeling guilty. I am trusting and suspicious. I'm honest and I still play games. Aristotle said I am a rational animal. I say I'm an angel with an incredibly large capacity for beer. To live by grace means to acknowledge my whole life story. Let me say that again. To live by grace means to acknowledge my whole life story, the light side and the dark. And omitting my shadow side, I learn who I am and what God's grace means. As Thomas Merton put it, a saint is not someone who is good, but a sinner who has experienced the goodness of God. The gospel of grace nullifies our adulation of televangelists, charismatic superstars, and local church heroes. It obliterates the two-class citizenship theory operative in many American churches. For grace proclaims the awesome truth that all is gift. All that is good is ours, not by right, but by the sheer bounty of a gracious God. While there is much we may have earned, our degree and our salary, our home, our garden, a Miller Lite, and a good night's sleep, all this is possible only because we have been given so much. Life itself, eyes to see, hands to touch, a mind to shape ideas, and a heart to beat with love. We have been given God in our souls and Christ in our flesh. We have the power to believe where others deny, to hope where others despair, to love where others hurt. This and so much more is sheer gift. It is not a reward for our faithfulness, our generous disposition, or our heroic life of prayer. Even our fidelity is a gift. If we but turn to God, said St. Augustine, that itself is a gift of God. And listen to these three last sentences. My deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it. Therefore, define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is your true self. Every other identity is an illusion. In other words, just like the woman at the well, everything will disappoint you. Everything. And in nothing will you find the satisfaction that your soul needs. But the beauty is, what your soul needs the most, that radical and complete and perfect love of God through Christ Jesus, you don't do anything to get it. You don't do anything to deserve it. You simply say thank you and know that you are loved completely. And that is your true identity, that you are a holy child of God. And whenever the evil one brings up an objection to that, tell him where to go. Is home. For God says, you are my holy child. You'll never thirst again if you simply believe that in your soul. Amen?
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Living God, you created all things out of nothing. You called a people out of the desert. You sent your Son to us when we were hard-hearted and far from your grace. And you send your Holy Spirit to us today, despite our foolishness and forgetfulness. Through your servant Moses, you drew water out of the rock. And in your Son Jesus, you brought living water, that we might never be thirsty again. Out of your Son's pure side on the cross flowed water and blood, and in the glory of his resurrection, we are baptized into wondrous forgiveness and everlasting life with you. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Overflowing God, in you we discover that all our striving and thirsting are truly a striving and thirsting for you. And in all our desert wanderings, we find that only you can satisfy. Come among us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may taste your living water, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Cleansing God, bring the healing power of your living water to visit all who labor with disease today. Pour the refreshment of your living water to invigorate all who are weary. Send the momentum of your living water to roll down justice like a never-failing stream. Make us, your church, a foundation of your living water until the day when hunger and thirst are no more, and we live your life abundant with the communion of saints. And you are all in all, in the presence and companionship of your Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. 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 The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, who are the cutest grandchildren in the world? Yours. Amen. And Jesus showed that love of the Father. For the Father would say, the best kids in the world are his. And like grandparents, you believe that even when it's far from the truth. And thanks be to God, he believes it while we're yet sinners. He likes to gloat his love for his children. The promise in Psalm 23 is he not only will prepare a table for us, but where will he prepare that table? In the presence of our enemies. He loves to show the world, who would say we're unworthy, "That's my boy. That's my girl. And I'm going to give them myself a feast, a marriage supper." That woman at the well represents all of us. Unworthy, but overwhelmingly loved. So come, and to receive this body and blood, having received it, you will never thirst again or hunger. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive this body and blood. Come and have prayer. Andy will be over by the organ. If you would like someone to join with you in prayer or share any prayer concerns, but make this a time where you say thank you to your groom for loving you perfectly. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, our Father, for your incredible, audacious, eternal, and indiscriminate love for all of us. We truly have never been loved like that before. May we drink deeply from only one well, the source of all living water. And we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Some of you may remember a song in the 60s, early 70s, called 17. A very sad song about a young woman, 17-year-old, waiting for a phone call that never came. Inventing imaginary lovers, as she would talk about, but provided no truth or solace for her soul. I often wonder, what if she had gotten a call? Would she have picked up the phone? Do we truly want to be loved like that? I would encourage you that anthropologically, Jesus Christ is calling all of you today to be his bride, to receive his love, and may the final hymn of the day be our attitude in response to his love that comes to us all. Let us stand and sing together. God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.